I love that little kid. He's funny. He cracks me up. Y'all seen that before? And if you guys have, I like that kid. Anybody ever been in that state? Anybody ever had the groggy meds? Taylor pretty recently. Taylor's the most recent. It was strong. You guys should have seen. Yeah, it was pretty good. I like that. That was funny. When Taylor hurt his leg 3.5 weeks ago, whatever, they hit him with 2 shots of morphine. Do you remember what the other one was, Taylor? Something stronger, because the morphine didn't do the job. So, the doctors were like, how is he still awake? It was like 3 a.m, and he's still talking on 3 doses of medication. It was pretty incredible. When he said thank you to me for staying, he seemed pretty much like a 3-year-old on drugs. It was pretty awesome. So some of you guys know how that kid felt. When you're like that, when you're all drugged up like that, and you heard the kid asking, you don't know where you are sometimes. You know, you don't know what's going on. You can't remember, you know, who's around you, and you don't recognize certain people. And it's weird, okay? That's kind of it's a strange place to be, and you're not comfortable. How many of you guys have ever felt out of place? Not like that kind of out of place, but just where you're in a situation where you're uncomfortable. I know some of you have been, okay? Right? I remember when I came out here for my interview, you know, that first Saturday. I landed here on Friday. And that first Saturday, we had a worship workshop with Jenny Riddle and the whole worship team from here. And it was me and a bunch of people I did not know. And it was really strange and awkward because I remember Canada never did sing for that, for Jenny. Canada got out of it somehow. But, you know, I didn't know anybody, and everybody was trying to figure me out. It was uncomfortable. Well, there's a reason we feel uncomfortable a lot of times, okay? Turn, if you want to Genesis chapter 2, okay? Don't put the verse up just yet, Wes, but now Genesis chapter 2, this is the beginning of the Bible. God has just created the heavens and the earth, and what's happening here, Adam's here. He's got the earth all created. He's got plants. He's got animals, and he's got Adam, which is the first man, and he looked and he said all things were good. But then there's something funny that happens here, okay? And God says, wait a second, I'm not quite done yet, okay? And we're in verse 18. This is the first thing God ever said was not good. The Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Okay, that's verse 18. So the first thing we can learn about, you know, if when you're out of place, it's because you're not what you were made to be. You're not where you were supposed to be. Well, the first thing we know about where we were supposed to be is that we were made to be in relationship with other people. Okay, the man was alone. God said it's not good. We are not supposed to be alone. Okay, so that's kind of my first point. I'm going to go kind of quick tonight because we're running a little bit low on time. But first major thing, we are not meant to be alone. Okay, Genesis 2:18, we were created to be in relationship with one another. Now, in the next chapter, the devil comes and he causes Adam and Eve to sin. And he doesn't cause them to sin. He tempts them to sin. And they sin. And in Genesis 3, verse 8, this is where they get caught. Okay, Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9 says this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God who was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, where are you? Now, when the Lord is speaking aloud, you know, like audibly so that you can hear him, that's pretty cool, right? When there's a voice from heaven, you can hear God talking. I've never had that happen. I talked about that Sunday. I've never experienced that myself. But this is the second thing that tells us what we were created for. You see, we were created to be in relationship with God. God was looking for them. They were walking in the garden. God was walking in the garden. He was right there with them where he created them. God was there, and so we were created for two reasons, and that's to be in relationship with each other, and to be in relationship with God, and to be in the family of God. Now, when we're not in those things is when we get uncomfortable sometimes. If we're not in right relationship with those around us, or we're not in right relationship with God, that's when we start to get uncomfortable. Something feels out of place, okay? We've heard it described as a hole in the heart. People know something is missing. They can't always figure out what it is. But we were created to be in the family of God. But you see, since Adam and Eve screwed up, they sinned, the world is messed up, and we are all born not in relationship with God like we were originally supposed to be because of original sin. Now, some of us here have really good family lives. I am blessed. I know that, okay? My parents have been together 30 years this coming June. June the 4th of this year will be my parents' 30th anniversary. And my grandparents, three of my four grandparents are still around. Tons of aunts and uncles and second cousins and whatnot. I just got another second cousin last week, or third cousin, I don't know. Somebody in my family had a baby just last week, and I don't know the relationship, but it's an aunt or something, cousin removed somewhere. But I have a new relative, okay? I've got a great family situation. Others of us don't have that. Some of you guys come from divorced homes. You come from homes where sometimes you've got more than one step parent. You come from multiple divorces, okay? You got bad family lives, okay? And I realize that we don't all come from the same place. But here's the thing, no matter which kind of family you have on earth, you were created to be in the family of God. Okay, you were created to be in the family of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." See, we have the choice, we have the option to be a part of the family of God, which is what we were created to be. As we learned in Genesis 3, we were created to be in a relationship with God. But by our sin, we are not in the family anymore. See, that's the way it works, is that when we sin, when we do things that are wrong, that go against the will of God, that separates us from God. In Romans, and I don't have the scripture up there, but Romans says, everybody sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it says, the wages of sin are death. So by doing things that are wrong, which nobody's perfect, we've all done things that are wrong, we are separated from God. That's the way it works, because God is just, and God cannot live with sin. Okay, God cannot be a part of that which includes sin. So sin separates us from God, from what we were destined to be, from what we were born to be as a part of the family of God. But luckily for us, John 3:16 is true. Okay, most of you guys, even if you're not a church person, you probably have heard of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." You see, God knew that you were supposed to be a part of his family, but by sin we had screwed that up. So God sent his son to take the punishment for us. How many of you know when you do something bad, you get punished, right? Right? Hopefully. That's what I know. Some of your parents, I know that's the case. I know when I was a kid, if I did something wrong, I heard one, two, whack. No, sometimes it made it to three. Sometimes it did not. It depended. If I'd been good lately, it would make it to three. If I was on their last nerves, they wouldn't quite count that high. They'd fake me out and hit me before three came. But I learned that when I do something wrong, there's a consequence for it, right? In school, the same thing. You don't study for a test, you fail the test a lot of times, okay? That's a consequence for doing something you're not supposed to, or for not doing something you are supposed to. When you talk back to the teacher, you get a referral, or you get detention, or you get whatever the punishment is in your class, whatever the rules are, there's a punishment, right? You do something wrong, you get punished. Well, the same thing works with God. You do sin, which we all do, you get punished. Luckily for us, Jesus took the punishment for us. See, Jesus came, and he's the Son of God, but he came and he put on flesh, is the way we say it in church a lot of times. He became a human. He was both God and human simultaneously, which is a little beyond our comprehension, but it's what happened. And so when Jesus did that, he took our punishment for us. He died on the cross. And the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, and I forgot to mark this. Here, let me. Romans 10, starting in verse 9, tells us how we can get back in the family of God. Our sin separated us from God. But the Bible tells us how we can be reaccepted in the family. It says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now let me dig into this just a little bit so you can kind of see what I'm talking about here. In verse 9, it started with that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's pretty straightforward there. Okay, if you believe in Jesus, you believe that, yeah, he came and died for your sin, but 3 days later he rose from the grave and he ascended to be beside God the Father, you will be saved. That's it. That's all you have to do to be back in the family of God. Okay, that's all you have to do to be back in the family of God is confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that he's raised from the dead. Verse 10, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Again, there's two parts to this, okay? You can say something without believing it. How many of you know that? Right? We say stuff without believing it. Okay, I'm going to pick on Taylor again. He's used to it. Come on. And this isn't a bad thing, but, you know, when we were selling fireworks, yeah, now he's like, yeah, that's true. Taylor did not often know for sure that firework was good, okay? And he didn't, so without knowing, it's very difficult to believe, but that didn't mean he wasn't going to say that it was good sometimes to get the sale, okay? So you can say things without believing them. How many of you know your parents are like, hey, how was your day? And you go, fine, right? You've been there. You don't believe it. You all know you may have had a terrible day, but you say fine to end the conversation. So number one, you have to believe it. And number two, you do have to say it. We confess with our mouth. When Jesus called people, he did it publicly. Okay, and so salvation is not a private thing that you can keep hidden from others. It is a public event. Moving on in verse 11 and 12, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. See, it doesn't matter if you grew up in church or if tonight's your first time ever inside a church building. Doesn't matter if you have spent your whole life with a Christian family or your parents have never been a part of church either. It doesn't matter. No one is better than another. It says, will not be put to shame. Christianity, you know, Jesus is not about shaming people into guilt, okay? You guys know you've heard this, or maybe your parents have given you the guilt trip, right? Like, you get the, I'm so disappointed. You've ever heard that? Okay, I've heard that one. You know, and so that's a guilt trip, but this isn't that. This isn't about putting you to shame, okay? This is about lifting people up into the relationship that they were born, that they were created for. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's very simple. All right, we've been in a series called Ohana, and Ohana means family, and family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten. Tonight, if you're in a place where you are not in the family of God, but you would like to be, you will want to get back into the family of God, we're going to give you that opportunity. Wes, if you'll turn to me, he's gone. If everyone will bow your head and close your eyes for just a couple minutes here, we're not going to drag this out, not going to make a big hairy deal of it, but I want to offer this opportunity to you. If you have not been in the part of God, you say, you know what, I have not been living for Jesus, I've never done that. I've never believed in Jesus, and I've never confessed him as Lord. But you want to tonight. You want to be a part of the family of God that you were created to be in. With nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you'll just slip your hand up, and you can put it right back down. Okay, not going to make a big deal of this. Not going to embarrass you or anything. But if you want to be a part of the family of God that you have not been a part of, you can just put your hand up and right back down. Oh, wait just a minute here. Great. I see a couple hands. Awesome. If everyone will repeat after me, we're going to say this prayer loud. And if you believe it in your heart, you're confessing it with your mouth. And if you believe it in your heart, the Bible tells us that you will be saved. It's very simple. And so tonight, if everyone will repeat after me, dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I don't do everything right. I thank you that you sent Jesus to take the punishment for me. I want to be a part of the family of God and live for you. Make me more like you so that I can be an example for those around me. I thank you for your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.